I'm a recovering addict. My name's Milton.
Hi,
everybody. And you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Jim, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Jim.
I'm Bob, addict.
Hi, Bob.
What we're going to talk about at this workshop is how this whole area got started. You can tell how organized I am. Local NA history. Let me see how I don't know where to start, but it's at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. We had Neil Brooks, Neil B. from Greenville, South Carolina, had come up to what was then known as ARC in Black Mountain, which was an alcohol recovery center, to tell his story. And there were three or four of us that went out there to hear him tell his story. And Neil talked about total abstinence. He talked about the disease of addiction. And he talked about a program of recovery called Narcotics Anonymous. Now, there were a few of us floating around in the AA fellowship that were smoking dope and, you know, going to meetings and that kind of thing. And had been around for a while in this area. I moved to this area in December of 79. And this, Neil spoke, it was sometime in the beginning of January of 81. And prior to that time, Bob had gotten clean. And his wife had decided that she didn't like him clean. So she kicked him out.
No.
Oh, no? Well, you do tell that part of it then. I'm not telling anybody else's story. You tell your own.
Very simply, we were all at the time AA. And then my wife wanted to go out to a dance, do some drinking, and I said no. I wanted to go to a meeting that night. And she said, well, what's wrong with you? You've been in the program over a year. You haven't had a drink. Do you still have to go to those meetings? I looked at her and I said, you don't understand, do you? And she said, I guess I don't. I said, I'll be out next week. And I moved in with Milton. Going from one to the other. So then we piled around for all that bed and we were still working AA until we got to where he said about Neil. Go on.
So we decided that maybe we better get clean. And at that time, you want to tell where you were back in 80, 81?
Yeah, I'm Jim. Again, I'm an addict.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Very honored that y'all want to hear some old farts tell this. The history of little history. I was in, I'm North Carolina native and bred. Lived in North Carolina all my life. That's where my accent comes from. Thank goodness I haven't lost it.
What accent? What accent?
Anyway, I came to mountains in 74. I tried to make it as brief as possible. And by 79, I'd hit a bottom. I started out in a profession, and I started out at the bottom and worked down from the bottom. At 79, I found myself in a little town of Bryson City, which is about 70 miles west of here, I believe. I had hit a bottom in that town. And the best place to begin recovery, I guess, is a place where you begin, where you hit a bottom, and that's what happened. There was no NA then. There was no NA in the Carolinas. So I had to go to the mother-sister program, AA program, and I started in AA. And I gave up alcohol, and I flushed down the pills that I was taking, script pills, which I abused. I was a script abuser. And I said, well, I'll hold on to my marijuana. And so I attended AA meetings for about 6 months. And was stoned at every AA meeting I went to. And then somehow in the spring, early spring, these two guys showed up in an AA meeting in Bryson City. And one of them, both of them had long hair hanging down from the shoulders, you know, and one of them had chains hanging out of his pocket, you know. And this is an AA meeting that, I mean, most of the AA people were retired people that got into AA after they, you know.
Retired.
any rate, they all, you know, their maps dropped and they turned, well, what in the hell are these guys, you know. It's a funny story with this. I remember one guy who used to talk about his son and bitch and gripe about his son who was an addict. And he said, I don't want to have nothing to fucking do about these fucking addicts, you know. And didn't realize his son had the same disease, or, you know, that he himself had. You know, he just couldn't associate that it's all the disease of addiction, which is where I'm at today. Anyway, I knew right off that I could relate to these guys because I knew I had other stuff that something wasn't working with me in AA. You know, I wasn't getting joyous and happy and free, you know, because I was still stoned. I was still not clean, you know. And anyway, I ended up inviting these two guys over to my home. One of them who became my sponsor in AA, he was from Atlanta. Both of these guys were from Atlanta. And one of them's name was Les, and he became my sponsor later on, NA sponsor. And when he heard me talk, he said, you're not clean. I said, I'm not? He said, no, you're still using. So I readily accepted that I was still using quite extensively with my pot. I love pot. It was wonderful drug, you know. Mellow high that just stayed mellow all the time. Anyway, for about 6 months, I would go down to Atlanta one weekend out of the month, and one weekend in a month they would come up to see me. And also in the interim of time, I dragged another fella in the area who I knew was an addict because he was my supplier. and I said, we got to start an NA group. He didn't seem to be too interested in it. But at any rate, we made our feeble attempts to start an NA group in Bryson City. That in April 5th, 1980, I smoked my last marijuana cigarette. And that's my birthday. I don't even remember my AA birthday, you know, because I was so stoned. I think it was September or October of 1979. It's one of those months that I began a semblance of recovery, but very feeble attempt. But my NA birthday is very firmly April 5th, 1980. I remember smoking my last marijuana cigarette. I'm gonna finish in just a minute. At any rate, I left.
Take your time. At
any rate,
we got an hour and
40. Yeah, we got an hour and
40. About several months later, you know how we get these fantasies and dreams, and I started praying to God to send me a lady friend, and He did, a very beautiful lady friend, and we proceeded, and I took off of her, and we took off, and we traveled all over the United States and into British Columbia and had a wonderful time. I won't go into all the details with it. It was a lived out fantasy, you know, if you can imagine. And, I don't know how the hell I stayed clean, but I did. And I didn't use. And I ended up in Wyoming. I thought I wanted to be a cowboy. So I went out to the West, you know, and I ended up in Wyoming.
That was detoxed.
Yeah. in Laramie, Wyoming, and that's where I ended up. And you could stand up out there and see for 50 miles, you know, it was flat, very flat. At any rate, I stayed out there about 9 months, and it That's a long story. I won't go into all that. But it's funny. But I did get into the fellowship of 12-step fellowship out there, and I managed to stay clean. And in the interim of time, the lady friend found out how crazy I was and kicked my ass out. You know. And so, and here I was, and I ended up with no car, less than $50 in my pocket, and in Laramie, Wyoming. That's a long story. I had to hit that kind of bottom. Anyway, after 9 months in 1980, I came back to, I moved back to Western Carolina. And I went to the town of Clyde near Waynesville, North Carolina. And this is where I later met Vivian and Bobby. Uh-huh. I don't think Bobby is here now, but Vivian and Bobby and myself became instruments in starting a group in Waynesville, North Carolina. And then also I heard about Milton and Bob and the group in Asheville, and I came together. And I started going to meetings in Asheville, and we had meetings in, and we had a meeting in Waynesville. Do you want me to keep going?
That would be a good place to talk
stop.
About.
We'll yeah. stop there.
So what had happened then after Neil spoke at ARC in Black Mountain, there was myself, there was Pam, Carolyn, you, and me. Were there five of us?
Five.
Gil.
And a guy named Gil. And we all drove down to Clean and Green on Augusta Road in Greenville, South Carolina, and picked up white chips in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And then we didn't have any literature. We didn't have any white book. We didn't have anything. So while we were there, we picked up some literature and came back up the hill. And I went back to what had been my home group in AA, which was the acceptance group, which is still meeting here in town. And I picked up a white chip in AA, not for alcohol, but as a desire to stay clean. And gave up 4.5 years of recovery in AA for one day clean in NA. And then the shit hit the fan. Because early on, there was a lot of friction between the two fellowships, and a lot of people in AA said, you know, this isn't going to work, and ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. So anyway, we started Agape. It was a Saturday night meeting, and it was the first meeting that I'm aware of in the Carolinas. Other people may have, I don't know, but that's what I'm aware of. And we began to, we would take the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we'd scratch out alcoholic, and we write in addict, and like alcohol and drug, and we put in drug. We take the readings and change it all around, and that's how we started. As a matter of fact, we didn't have any idea what we were doing, but we knew two things. We knew that the disease was called addiction, and we knew that a drug was a drug was a drug, and we got that part of it. And then we understood that the recovery part had to do with the steps, and it had to do with fellowship and stuff like that. And so I got real. I mean, I knew that I wasn't going to last if I didn't have other addicts. And so we used to go to AA meetings and look for addicts.
We had our own thing going.
And we'd go, and we'd look and say, hey, are you an hey, you want, look, come on, you need to come over here and hear about this NA thing, you know. Because, you know, you'd hear people in the other fellowship talking about pills or talking about pot or talking about something, whatever, you know, from time to time. And those were the ones, you know, we'd glom right on them real quick and then drag them to our meeting. they got a little, some of the people, some of the old timers got a little angry about all that stuff. Anyway, I got a letter. There was a there's a halfway house in Asheville called the Flynn Home, and they have a board of directors. And there was a lawyer on that board of directors who was a recovering alcoholic. And he wrote me a letter saying that if I ever got caught on their property picking up people to take them to NA meetings again, I would be arrested for trespassing. I mean, that was the kind of stuff that was going on back in those early days. But Greenville, the sister fellowship in South Carolina, was, they'd come up here, we'd go down there. It was real supportive of us. And this was in, this must have been in February, March of 81. Like I said, we picked up our white chips. Well, maybe it was, yeah, it was February, probably February of 81. And so we started the Agape group. And there was a treatment center in Asheville back in those days called Appalachian Hall. And there was a psychiatrist at the treatment center by the name of Dr. Dennis Christensen. He's dead, so I can break his anonymity. He can't do nothing about it. but God bless him. He could see the need for the NA fellowship. So the treatment center offered us a room to meet over at the big ballroom there at Appalachian Hall up in the hill. And we would had a, we had other meetings over there on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I think, two meetings a week over there. And so the meetings began to grow, and we had a lot of support from the treatment community, which was good for helping recovery to start, but it wasn't so good for maintaining autonomy, because we started to run into these kinds of conflicts where, you know, the treatment center wouldn't let people come back to the meeting because they had been kicked out of treatment. You know, and we had to have unity, and we had to have open meetings, and we started running into these conflicts. So there was this kind of stuff going on between the treatment center and those of us who were doing the meetings about traditions and about. So we learned real early on about the separateness of NA from treatment and trusted servants and that kind of thing. And Highland Hospital was another hospital that in town that had meetings going on at it. So unlike other areas that didn't get much support from the treatment community, we had a lot of support from the treatment community early on. And today, a lot of people in treatment come to the meetings here in Asheville. So I'm running out of things to say. But that was at 81, 82. Oh, okay. This is funny. At that time, to the best of my knowledge, there was a meeting in Asheville, a meeting in Greenville, South Carolina, and a meeting in either Myrtle Beach. We would go to Myrtle Beach because there were three meetings.
Seven groups?
Well, you talk about it then.
Okay, we're into about 81, the summer or fall of 81, and we learned of other groups in the Carolinas. There were seven groups at that time in the Carolinas. And I'm saying seven groups. That's not an area yet. It's groups. There was a group in Greenville. There was a group in Waynesville. There was a group in Asheville. There was a group in Myrtle Beach. There was a group in Walterboro, South Carolina. And how many have I got there?
I don't know.
But okay, there were two other groups. And I think one group was north of Myrtle Beach.
Pauley's Island.
Yeah. I think there was Pauley's Island.
And there was one other group that's escaping me. But there were seven groups. I'm certain of that. And it was at this time, and I'll, you know, It's at this time we got the brilliant idea that maybe we ought to get a little organized. We'll begin to think about some organization, you know, that nasty word of organization. And I would like to say something real quick here that I just want to truly, sincerely express. The days, early days that I was of service with NA were some of the days of my life that were the most spiritual days of my life. And looking back on it, it was also the days in which I saw God using a confused, very confused, crazy person and working his will through me. I truly, sincerely, I believe that God worked through me. And where I got into trouble with service is when I started thinking that I was doing it. Okay. At any rate, we called up each other. We started networking, and we found out the GSRs of these groups, Ross in Walter'sboro, South Carolina, D in Greenville, North Carolina, Milton in Asheville, myself in Waynesville. That's the other group, Waynesville group. I got my own group, Waynesville group. And we got up with the GSR in Myrtle Beach and
Pawleys Island.
Pawleys Island. And so we chose a place to meet, and it was at an AA convention in Greenville, North Carolina. Wasn't it Greenville, North Carolina?
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe it was. It was in Greenville. No, it was Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach.
It was AA convention. The big AA convention they have at Myrtle Beach every year.
Down. Oh, Serenity by the Sea. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Something like
and
that.
We met under the bleachers of that AA convention, all seven of us, of the groups, under the bleachers of at the AA convention there.
Hiding out. Because what had happened is that Bo and Paige and the NA Literature Subcommittee had been working on writing a book, a recovery text for the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, because all we had was the white book. And this was 83, because the book came out in 83. But the World Service office out in California, the big guys, the ones that knew everything, the ones we called up when everybody was breaking the rules, say, hey, they're breaking a rule. And there were the police, NA police out there. They were formulating how the fellowship could accept the literature, accept the recovery text. And we wanted to have a say in writing in whether or not that book was what we wanted to have. But in order to do it, you had to be a region. We didn't know what the hell a region was.
So what we did, what we decided under those bleachers at that time was to form a region. We didn't know what a region was. But we decided to form a region, and we would call it the Carolina region of Narcotics Anonymous, combined with North and South Carolina. And that is what we did, and we actually set aside a time for us to meet and have a regional meeting, which was seven of us, you know. We were really big, you know.
And we elected a guy by the name of Brent C. Brent had gotten out of the Navy, and he was on his way to Maine after his discharge, and he got to Asheville in his Volkswagen bus, and it broke down, and he went to the noon AA meeting. Back then, we'd all go to the AA meeting at noontime because it was an open AA meeting, and addicts could go in there, and we could talk about addiction and drugs and piss them off, you know. And they couldn't do nothing about it because it was an open meeting, and anybody was welcome. So Brent shows up at this meeting because his car had broken down, and he didn't know what the hell he was going to do. It turns out the engine actually blew up, so he wasn't going to get to Maine real quick. And he talked at the meeting, and I was at the meeting. I said, oh, he's an addict. He's up. He's one of us because he talked about it. So I went up to him after the meeting. I said, hey, you need a place to stay. Of course, he thought I was hitting on him. So.
The only thing you talked about is when he moved in with you, so.
Yeah. Jump in, buy any old time, you know.
That's all right.
So,
well, if you want, I moved in with him. Then we started working together to see about getting this stuff, moving NA into this area here and trying to get it formed in Asheville, which I guess is what we're supposed to be talking about. And first thing we had to do, we went around to every law enforcement group.
Yep.
And told them that we were going to start an NA meeting. And we didn't want to be bothered. The State Bureau of Investigation, the SBI, the only ones that said, we will not come in, but we will sit outside if we know there's somebody we want. We won't bother your meeting, but we will sit outside and drag and get them when they come out the door. The rest of them said they'd just leave us alone. I think that we were telling them we're going to get a bunch of addicts together. They didn't want to fool with us. Put a bunch of dang addicts together and they were all brand new. So anyway, so that's how we got the meeting started. And a lot of times, without having any literature, I was just talking to people down Georgia about this here recently. It's two readings that we had, and we used to basically go over people's houses, sit around the candles, and read. And one was the Desiderata,
yeah.
And the other one was Jonathan Livingston Seagull. If you don't know anything about it, that book just happens to be very spiritual if you read it. And those were two of the books that we used, two of the things that we used to get our meetings going. We had the Little White Book and the Desiderata and Jonathan Livingston. And they were a big help. We were able to talk about our recovery. We were able to talk about our spirituality using these books and papers. And so it was just one after the other. We had the original five that we dealt with in Asheville, we are the only two still here. And I don't know why. I guess we're sick and tired of what we were before we got here. But so the other three, I have no idea. One or two of them may be dead, and one he mentioned he had seen recently. So, but we hung on. And Brent, he was talking about come in, and he helped formulate it. Boy, that man had a hate for AA.
He did.
And he was wondering, what is that, the 11th step, start through prayer and masturbation. Every time he was at an AA meeting, that's what he would say. I got mad at him. But him and a girl named Jan, she went back up north, didn't she?
Yeah, she came in August.
Yeah, and so, but they grouped and helped us to stay together. In other words, if somebody went outside the room, we'd send them out. Go get them, you know. Because we did like other people did back in those days. We went out looking for the people, as he said. We went looking and saying, hey, come over to us. And very, very quietly and said, we got one person, we got two persons, three, four, five. And they just quietly came over. They were going to the AA. And we would go in there, and like he said, drag them out. We said, come on. You know, you're talking our language in that meeting. Come over and talk our language at our meetings where it's accepted. And that's how we grew. And it grew slowly and moved. And we had to wound up being basically, I think, to look at it with the other in the region, in Western North Carolina, we were the little ones that started Western North Carolina NA. And my understanding is gone. I moved out. I got too much trouble. I got out of here. I had my own home group here. That was the Chosen Frozen. And if you ever get to Marietta, Georgia, the Chosen Frozen is now down there. So we just kept it going quietly, still. And we had different things we had to do, like going down to the police station and saying, "Hey, we're going to start an NA meeting" and stuff like that. We got it so that everybody knew what we were doing. And it was no secret that there were drug addicts and they were going to meet in a certain room together. And it was for recovery and not was for who's dealing with what. So we had to get that out to the public, basically. So that's where we got to. And it just kept growing. And we've been having meetings here, having meetings there. Every time somebody gets in resentment, we get a new meeting. So if you hear of any new meetings that just started past week, all you got to do is say, all right, somebody got a resentment again. That's what starts meetings. I always said, get a resentment in a coffee pot and you got a meeting. And, we wound up starting with 1, 2, and 3 up to the 7 in 2 states. That's 7 in 2 states. To being, I don't know how many we got over right in this area right now, just in Asheville, but I guess it's more than 7. We grew and it took us time. From late 1980, when we started thinking about it, to 81, when the realization that things that we were thinking about happened. And we were able to go from there, very quietly. And to where we are today, because it took us a couple of years to 83 to start this thing here.
Yeah, what happened was in 83, when they had the World Convention to decide about the recovery text, 83 was a pretty rough year in Narcotics Anonymous because the recovery text was being written in California, but a lot of the subcommittee members of the literature subcommittee were in the East Coast, and there was this paranoia that, you know, California was going to somehow put words in there that we didn't want to have, and California was paranoid that we were going to put words in there that they didn't want to have. And, you know, it got pretty vicious between some of the personalities that were involved with this. And if you notice, our recovery text does not have an author. So there's no Bill W., there's no Dr. Bob, there's no... Even Jimmy Kay, who was instrumental in the beginnings of Narcotics Anonymous, is not identified by name in our recovery text. And so it's a purely channeled, if you want to use that word, recovery text. But in order to get it approved... The regions had to come together and vote to do that. So at that meeting, when we all got together, the 7 meetings got together, we elected Brent to be the regional service representative from the Carolina region. We had no areas.
We didn't have areas.
All we had was the region. And came up with some money, and Brent and I went out to California, and then we stood at the... That's the thing, we voted on the acceptance of the text in 83. Just prior to that, while they were writing the text, this is interesting, they had these fellowship approval texts they would send out for us to read and see if that's what we agreed with or not. And we were so hungry for literature in those days that I took one of those pre-approval things to a printer. I had 200 copies printed up, and I sold them to a treatment center so that they would be recovery. They would have a recovery text for the... I mean, I believe so much in the message that they could get the message out there to... And I've got one of those at the house. It's a yellow paperback thing that they put together. So you see, we're all just stumbling along here. We're trying to get the message out, and we knew about addiction. We knew about total abstinence. We knew we needed each other. And... You know, in those days, you know, we were in touch with each other every day. So it wasn't like you'd go a week or two and not see anybody. I mean, every day, you know, where were you yesterday? What are you doing? You know, that kind of thing. There's a real close-knit group of people. And then we got the information that we're supposed to form an area. So we formed the Asheville area of Narcotics Anonymous. And I don't remember what year the area actually got formed, but I know that this convention, Spiritually High in the Land of the Sky, this is the 20th year of this convention, and there used to be a mountain recovery convention that Greenville used to do, and people would come up here for a convention, and we met at Warren Wilson College. Even before this Asheville Area Convention got started, and it was like a regional convention, I guess you might say. And then what happened over the years was that the Asheville area started to have friction because there was down Waynesville Way, and then there was Murphy and Franklin and Cullowhee Connection, and the groups out west of this area said, well, we're going to form our own area, and, you know, we got into this conflict about. So it ended up in the long run being moving from the Asheville area to the western North Carolina area, which took everything into consideration to the Tennessee line. So that's what I remember so far. You got anything else?
Well, I guess we can shut up in a few minutes and let these people direct questions. But I see it also the local as being the evolution of the region too. I got very involved, too heavily involved actually, in service work in the region. That's another story. But at any rate, all of these seven groups were spread out throughout the Carolinas to the extent that all of them were strategically located to form areas surrounding their satellite meetings, their focus of their meetings. There were seven areas that came out of the seven meetings. And so there were seven. We had seven areas within a number of years. It was funny. That first meeting that we had, Bo from Atlanta came up. And he said to us seven GSRs of the seven meetings, he said, "Where are you all's areas?" And we said, "What is an area?" So Bo explained to us more so about the mechanism of, how can you have a region before you have areas? Well, we do. And we did. I'm just so grateful to see what's happened.
Well, I think that because of the way it formed, it has a lot to do with the area structure in this area is relatively weak comparative to the group structure. The groups are stronger, I think, than the area is. And it's because that's kind of how it started. I mean, groups were really autonomous. I mean, each group that got formed and set up, I mean, the people that were involved in forming that group, they didn't want anybody telling them what to do from the area level. So H&I work and stuff like that and all those kinds of things would kind of happen out of the group level instead of out of a coordinated level at the area level. So it's going to, you know, that's kind of like the history is why we ended up where we're at today. Of course, we do have an area. But a lot of recovery early on was service work. I mean, there was no difference between service work and recovery. I mean, that's what you did. I mean, because you needed a meeting. You didn't have enough where you were. So you got in a car and you went to Boone or you went to Shelby or you went to Charlotte or you went to Pinehurst or you went somewhere because somebody else down there was starting a meeting. And so you'd all go there and support that meeting. And that's really how it happened early on. And working the steps and all that kind of thing, a lot of that happened in the car on the way to those meetings. You know, we'd take our literature with us and we'd talk about the steps, we'd talk about what was happening and what was going on. So a lot of the stuff that happened early on was all service-related stuff. And a lot of us got burnt out. I mean, we became service junkies. We became so focused on carrying the message that we forgot, you know, we forgot what the message was for us. I mean, and we had to start get back to focusing on our own recovery, which is all part of service work. I mean, people in recovery get on. You know, we have an addictive nature. We're obsessive compulsive, and you get that rush of being in charge of shit. And the next thing you know, you jump in there. We go through that. That's all. At least I have been through that. As part of my own recovery. I can't think of much else to talk about from the early days of forming the area. I hope what we're hoping is that this tape will be enough information and timeline
so that the area can do a history of what happened and when the time frames were and all that kind of thing. Other areas are doing that today, and we haven't done that up until now. Like I say, you know, the three of us are the only ones that are left from those days. And we're all getting old.
And I left town.
And he left town. So I guess we'll open it up for anybody have questions or comments or your own experience with it. Or
my name's Kevin. I'm an addict.
Hi, Kevin. Yeah.
And it's funny when you were talking about the story of meeting under the bleachers at the AA. I read that story at the World Convention last year, and I laughed my butt off. Because like a lot of people, I started in the Liquid Fellowship and came over this way. It's just really amazing. And talking about the western end of this area deciding to start they're trying to do that again, and you know that may or may not happen, who knows. And it's just all the growing pains that go on with this, and I'm really glad that I came here to listen to you guys talk about this today, because I am a historian. I started studying history when I was very small, and so anything I get involved with, I try to get the history of it, you know. And I'm new around here, so I'd love to hear the history of what happened here and know what went on. So thank you for sharing it with me.
You're welcome.
I'm Martha, and I'm an addict. I'm
Martha.
And I heard you mention Agape. That was the first group. And then I heard you mention Chosen Frozen, too. Now, is that still the Monday night, Chosen Frozen? And then I know the Silver Door. Wasn't it one of the early meetings, too?
The Silver Door came about 84, 85, somewhere in there, 84, 80. I don't know exactly which year. But, see, what happened was the Noontime Acceptance Group in AA, which was an open AA meeting, was getting bigger and bigger because NA was growing and all the addicts didn't have a noontime meeting. So they'd go to the open AA meeting and talk about recovery and get some recovery from that. So anyway, the group members of the acceptance group took a group conscience and said, in order to limit the number of people coming to this meeting because it's getting so big, we'll make it a closed meeting for alcoholics only. So those of us that had been going to that meeting that we thought that was our home, we got really pissed, you know, because we figured, you know, shit, this is... But it forced us then to find another meeting space. And where were you? You were over at...
I was working at the Presbyterian Church, and I got them to allow us to use the Boy Scout room for a meeting.
It's still there.
And it was, we stood outside that place and tried to think of a name for it, and tried to think of a name for that group. And what had happened is I was the one standing there, and I'm looking at the door, this aluminum door. I looked at that thing, and I said, we were getting all excited about names, and I said, why don't we just call it the Silver Door? Look at it. And and I guess everybody was disgusted in what they wanted. So everybody, So the Silver Door got started there because I worked at the church and was able to get the space. Uh-huh. And it is still going.
Now, what was the name of the Waynesville group?
Was it Fresh Start?
I believe it was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fresh Start was up there.
And so... In 85, this first convention, it must have just really caught on pretty big.
Yes, it did.
Who sort of organized the first convention?
We moved pretty fast.
You guys good?
And we were it. I mean, like I said, I mean, you know, because...
How many people showed up?
Well, there were only seven of us under those bleachers the first time.
There's a couple of hundred at the first.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
well,
pretty good. Later, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before there was a spiritually high in the land of the sky, the meeting out in
Warren Wilson,
there was probably 50 or 75 people at that meeting, and that was supposed to be the whole Carolina recovering community. But then when we started spiritually high in the land of the sky, our meetings, we would have the convention at the Holiday Inn West in West Ash. Mm-hmm. Remember they had the great pool all that stuff?
The Holodome.
And that was the first one that we started. So that was, what, 84? Because that was 24 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago. So that was 84. And we moved away from serving for the region to having our own area convention. And it was the Asheville area at that time, which has now become...
Remember, there was the issue about alcohol at Warren Wilson. Remember, and they had to address the alcohol issue because people were drinking at the NA convention. And I'm like, what are they doing? You know, and so, and also Milton's was like a recovery house. There was a lot of us that came to Milton. I came up from Miami and lived at Milton's, and everybody hung together. It was like this clique, and you didn't move from the clique. You stayed in that clique because you were scared to death. And a lot of us, and I kicked drugs at Milton's and heroin.
Yeah, we had people detoxing in the back room up like this. Because, you know, in those days, I mean, Neil Dobbins wouldn't take addicts and treat them for detox, so we had to detox people. I remember one girl was detoxing off my kitchen, and I'm sleeping, and she comes running about 3 in the morning, banging on my door, Bill, there's rats in my room, rats in my room. What do you mean, rats? It was Pat. Yeah. She's still clean today. Yeah, she's clean today. Yeah, she. But she's, and it was squirrels. She heard the squirrels were running around in the roof, and she thought that there were rats in her in the room.
Milton's shower became... Everybody wanted to take a shower in Milton's room because he had the big bathroom. There was one little scrawny bathroom in there, and just everybody was like piled in to Milton's. I mean, Milton was like the guru. I mean, you know, what Milton said, everybody did, and if you didn't, then, you know. But a lot of people stayed clean.
Yeah, and that came from, see, Neil B. in Greenville, he did the same thing. He had a house down there on Augusta Road, and he, my first sponsor, Ron from Fort Payne, Alabama, when they were forming the NA groups meetings in Greenville, Ron R. came up from Atlanta. Ron R. had been discharged from, he was from Marine Corps, and he was living in a park in flip-flops and a t-shirt and cutoffs for like the summer of 79, 80, somewhere in there, 70, I don't know what year, but, and he came up to Greenville to help get NA started in Greenville, South Carolina. So that's kind of how, it's funny, you know, and it started in Atlanta because there was an airline steward who would fly back and forth to California, and he brought the meetings to Atlanta. So it jumped all the way across the country from one coast to the other. Then from Atlanta came up to Greenville, and Greenville up here to Asheville. So it's funny, you know, how the progression of it over the years happened. But
we wanted it.
Yeah, it's like, and we really wanted this thing. I mean, we knew that this was important, that with our lives dependent on it, and it became our lives. It just became what we did. So it wasn't about starting an area or starting a group or starting. It wasn't about that. It was about saving my ass.
Yeah.
It was saving our own ass. It was doing what we needed to do so that we could be free and have a program to work.
There was the light center.
Everybody
was up there. We had up to the woods.
Yes.
I mean, God, we just, nobody left Milton's side. I mean, it was just like, well, what should we do today? And everybody would converse and figure out the agenda for the day. But it was always together. It was never separate. Nobody was ever separate. It was like you got up in the morning and there was Milton. You went to bed at night and there was Milton. I mean, it was just, that's the way it was. And he saved a lot of our lives.
Recovery did. Anything else?
I'm a little confused about the people that were drinking at an NA convention. Who was drinking at an NA convention?
Some of the students.
Yeah.
Students.
Oh, not the NA people.
No, it was the people coming up from Miami. Yeah.
I'm an actor. My name's Mike. I'm from Charlotte.
Hi, Mike.
Mike.
I've heard it run around.
Can you get his?
Yeah.
I heard a rumor, and I don't know if it's true or not. I heard that NA in North Carolina started up here in Nashville. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I missed the beginning, so I don't know.
To the best of our knowledge, and to the best of my knowledge, the Agape group was the first meeting in North Carolina.
Was that at Grace Episcopal then? The Agape group?
Down on Charlotte Street.
Yeah.
That's where we had the meeting. The first, and the Agape group eventually folded, and now the Saturday night meeting is another group.
What does chosen frozen mean? What does chosen frozen mean?
It was a resentment.
Chosen frozen was resentment by a guy whose first name I know, but I will not say.
There are a bunch of folks in NA at that time that were bikers. And there were some other people in NA that weren't bikers. And the people that weren't bikers used to talk about God and all that shit a lot. And the bikers didn't talk about God and all that shit a lot. And so they decided they were going to start their own meeting. And they called it Easy Riders. Chosen Frozen were the meetings they started. And it was like a reflection against some of the other people in the fellowship. Does that make sense to you?
I'm just gonna throw this out, but Agape group meets in Belmont. There's an Agape group in Belmont at 10 o'clock on Saturday. It's an excellent meeting.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Is it Agape another fellowship, or is it an NA? There is an Agape fellowship.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
There is an Agape fellowship, but this probably is not related.
Right. Okay.
The reason that the name was chosen in the beginning, because we understood the definition of Agape to mean unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we chose to name the group.
There is a fellowship.
Yes.
An Agape fellowship?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's associated with some churches in North Carolina. It's the Agape Inc. of North Carolina.
So that's really an outside issue.
Yeah.
So then after you guys didn't know what you were doing, you sent Brent down to Winston-Salem to tell us we were doing all
this. Right.
And he come in with an attitude.
Yeah, he was lock and load Brent.
Oh, yeah. He came in with an attitude because we were like introducing ourselves as, pharmacology fiends and alcoholics and
pill heads,
cyclobarbital guys, and all these different, everybody's trying to top the name for the great company. He was mattered shit. And that's how he became Pete's sponsor. Pete didn't like him, so he decided he better be a sponsor.
Yeah.
I will say that Brent is down in Georgia now, and he is trying to get up into the state. Order up there. He wants to be one of the big shots. He's either for the state or he's going for trying to get out the Board of Trustees. I forgot what he was doing because I see him just. I haven't seen him in the last 2 months. I'm going to have to check on him. I see him once a month.
And God help you if you use the word sober around him.
Yeah.
Oh, I love to do it.
And Jan B was the other one. Brent came in May or June, and then Jan came in August.
Yeah,
'81.
Just to throw something out there, at the World Convention last year, they had the people from the original meeting get up on stage and have a meeting, and one of the guys up there, the baby of the group, had 32 years. But one of the guys up there, who was one of the original members, said, "I don't mean to offend anybody, but in the beginning we introduced ourselves as addicts and alcoholics, and we kept that for a long time." Mm-hmm. And I say that because I know sometimes we get way too lost in the words and we forget what we're here for. So I just wanted to throw that out.
And early on, we were real passionate about our autonomy. We were real passionate about our own identity. Because over the years, when AA was getting formed, there wasn't any other fellowship for them to run and hide out in when things got tough.
Yeah.
1935.
When NA got formed, there were people in NA that when going got tough in NA, they'd go hide out in AA. And so we had to get real passionate, I guess is the best way to use it, our language, our book, our steps, our sponsors, our recovery. We really jumped in people's shit. You know, it's like, this is NA, you know, we have our steps, we have our traditions, we have our sponsors, and this is the language of NA, and people had to be taught that. I mean, people coming in don't know, and there's a language of recovery that develops over time, and you learn how to express yourself at meetings in a way that is recovery-oriented according to the NA recovery text. And today we have people with multiple years of recovery that have NA sponsors that recovered with the NA book, they really never went to NA or AA, the other fellowship. Bill?
I was just going to ask if that was why Agape was a closed meeting before it folded. Because that's, to my knowledge, Agape was the only closed meeting of Narcotics Anonymous in Nashville.
And now the only closed meeting is the Spiritual Awakening Saturday morning meeting. Anybody else? Comments or memories, or because this is stuff, I mean, we're all just kind of putting this together. So,
this is kind of a comment I'd like to make. And I say this as a Narcotics Anonymous member, you know, a Narcotics Anonymous sponsor. But one of the things I've come from over the mountain, in the mountain area of Narcotics Anonymous over in Tennessee, Upper East Tennessee, and one of the things I find disturbing is I've been taught to give credit where credit's due. You know, be respectful where it's warranted. And you hear over in our area, I'm sure it's, you hear other places, you hear about the OFF, the other fucking fellowship. You know, and to me, you know, I love my mother because out of her womb my life came. I love AA, not because I'm an AA member, but because they allowed us to a degree to take what they had, to have what we have now that has also given me life. So I just want to, you know, give proper respect where it's due. And that's all I have to say.
Great.
I know last year we had at this convention the guy, I forget his name, that was here and had all the history, literature. It was probably one of the most fascinating things I ever.
Kermit.
Yeah, it was an awesome. And I know one of the questions, just for your information, you may know it, I don't know, but the stories in the back of the NA text, they're all the original stories. Mm-hmm. And to me, that just, you know, just put cold chills. You know, it's like, it gave them a whole different perspective just to realize that those, they may even be some of yours, I don't know, but they're the original stories in the back of that text. If you've never read them,
that's all right. They're getting ready to change them. Don't worry about it.
Not in my text, Bob.
Well, and our literature, our recovery text, acknowledges the history in the beginning. What it says,
before you start reading the
that
text,
alcoholism was too limited a term for us, and we needed a program bigger than that. So it wasn't, our problem was not a specific drug. It was a disease called addiction.
Yeah, I'm an addict. My name's
Robbie. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Robbie.
Speak.
Speak up.
I'm in the area of Narcotics Anonymous.
So we can get
in Tennessee. I think, you know, talking about in the early 80s and all through the 80s, that we spent a lot of time on our own identity. And you know, my sponsors in Narcotics Anonymous, and that's where my home is. That's where my home group is, and it always has been. But I know there's so many people in my area that spend a lot of time and you know, the first few years when I was clean, a team of horses couldn't have drugged me to an AA. And I felt like an NA Nazi. But you know, and I have been to AA some, and I don't go regularly today, and this is my home. But a lot of fucking time and energy is spent on at speaker meetings and at meetings at home groups. It seems like the topics are spent on knocking the other fellowship. Well, you know, today we have our own identity. We have numbers of people in recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. And we don't have to keep doing that today. And we don't have to keep knocking. I mean, we spend too much time on it when we can talk about recovery. And that's all I have to say about it.
I think a lot of the time early on, that feeling of there's an enemy and it's the other fellowship helped us get off our asses and pull together. to beat the enemy. You know what I mean? So it's like that passion that we got was the passion of fighting for something. And the I'm not justifying any of this, but I'm just saying that I think a lot of the reason, I can remember so many times, you know, we would talk about we were going to hang together and we were going to show them that this would work and that kind of thing. Because it gave us the energy. I don't know how many addicts are rebellious by nature. So it's like that natural rebellious part of me as a recovering person gave me the oomph and the energy and the desire to get out there and do something about making a change and put energy into developing the NA meetings. So I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just talking about where that comes from, that passion. Anybody else?
One last thing about the World Convention. The director of the AA World Board addressed the World Convention last year. I was very happy to go to that convention. And if y'all don't know about it, September 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of next year is the next World Convention.
Why?
Marshall.
Plug.
Where is it going to be at?
Hawaii. Anybody else?